I'll start with focusing first on Dubai FinTech Summit, and I want to talk about mindset and innovation. They did have a stellar lineup of CEOs talking about how we can shake things up. So one of my key takeaways on their mindset, they focus a lot on risk. And they see risk as an opportunity. See, they show up consistently such that they can be ahead of the curve. It's just this sense of pure entrepreneurship. Yeah, like ambition, risk-taking that I absolutely love it. Key message is we need to challenge ourselves, to push ourselves to think beyond how things are today. And another key message, how can we use technology to get 10 years ahead? And what I loved the most was that, hello, everyone. Welcome back to Purpose Driven FinTech Podcast. This is season number 2. We had a small break a few weeks and we are ready to go with more exciting guests and fintechs. So the purpose of this podcast is to explore how can we differentiate, have commercial success, and have 10 times more impact. And why is that important? Because what we want is to have impact in customers' financial lives. So what we'll do is we'll go deeper on how we can build products with impact. And then to start the season, we have an amazing lineup. First, we have Ollie Cook. He is the CEO and co-founder at Echo in the UK, one of my favorite fintechs at the moment. We'll talk all things sustainability. Then we have Tiffany Tong, all the way from Nepal. She is the CEO and co-founder at Alloy. And actually, we met during COVID times, or roughly, when she was just getting started. I was mentoring her. And basically, by now, they've iterated. They have an amazing proposition. We then go to the other side of the world. We go to the US and we speak with Gavin Nachbar. He is the co-founder at Column Tax. And basically, as you can guess, we talk all things tax and how he is simplifying how Americans are doing their taxes. Of course, we then are covering all regions across the world and all type of businesses. We then speak with Robert Kraul all the way in the Netherlands, and we talk about acquiring. This is the first episode we do specifically about acquiring. So it's a very fun episode. We talk a ton about leadership. He's got a fantastic business. And then, of course, one of my favorite fintechs, but I am super biased. Then we have Subin Radhakrishnan from BigPay all the way in Malaysia. So it's a very exciting lineup. We'll explore with them. What are they doing? Why are they different? How can we have more impact? And this is just the beginning. I cannot tell you the whole list because it would take us the full episode. But then basically we go from covering lending, payment, sustainability, tax, neobanks, and how they are having impact. So before we get into it, one of the reasons why we had a short break in between season 1 and season 2 is because I've been attending conferences. I've been to Money 2020 Bangkok, and then I went to Dubai FinTech Summit, of course, in Dubai. So I want to cover what are the key insights that I got and what are the things that we need to be aware of. I'll start with focusing first on Dubai FinTech Summit. And I want to talk about mindset and innovation. If you haven't heard, Dubai is becoming a very powerful city when it comes to fintech and business as such. So their ambition is to be within the world top 3 cities in the world for business. And basically, what they did with Dubai FinTech Summit is they did the largest gathering of regulators and CEOs in the region. And basically, they portray themselves as the land of opportunity where you can have like boundless ambition. And to be honest, they did have a stellar lineup of CEOs talking about how we can shake things up. So one of my key takeaways on their mindset, because they also brought the Ministry of Finance, Ministry of Tourism, there were like important people, right, in the ecosystem. So one of the things that caught my attention was they focus a lot on risk and they see risk as an opportunity. So in one of the talks, they were talking about, yes, there is political risk in the region, but there's always been risk in the region. However, what they see with every risk is an opportunity. What they do is they look at the challenge, they understand it, they give it a solution. And basically, they show up consistently such that they can be ahead of the curve. And while you can say, Monica, but that's what we're all doing. We're doing this in Europe. We're doing this in Asia. We're doing it everywhere. I could argue they are a little bit ahead of the curve. Like they say, it's just this sense of pure entrepreneurship. Yeah, like ambition, risk-taking that I absolutely love it. So the other point that caught my attention as they talked about the ecosystem as such is leadership. So they attribute phenomenal leadership to the success of the ecosystem and the city or even the country as such. They refer to phenomenal leadership to one that listens to the market, right? And one that can focus consistently on what can be done to raise the bar. So they are in the process of digitizing, of course, the whole economy. And as much as they depended in the past in the oil industry, now that's changing, right? So they need to focus on the other alternatives, which that brings fintech to the play. Key message is we need to challenge ourselves, to push ourselves to think beyond how things are today. I'll repeat that again. We need to challenge ourselves, to push ourselves to think beyond how things are today. And that is so true because how things are moving 6 years from now, it's going to be a total different world. Like even the skills that we will need, the type of jobs that we'll be doing, quite likely being a product leader in 6 years' time is going to be different than now. I don't know, like even the types of fintechs that we will have, we would normalize having blockchain, AI, and maybe virtual reality all together in one different type of fintech. Maybe regulation has changed, and by then we have a more regional or even global regulatory body that is likely not going to happen. But there's the opportunity is there. But anyways, coming back to Dubai and the mindset, another surprising element was in the government, they mentioned every government office needs to have an AI officer. And then basically they say, and not just like an AI officer, just because you're my friend, it needs to be an AI officer who is actually a specialist in the field. Why? Because basically we need to start thinking of how things will be run differently tomorrow. And that is another key message. How can we use technology to get 10 years ahead? And actually, that is a question that I want to start asking more in the pod. And actually, let me highlight that as we take a note of things to be asked to our guests, like how can we build for the next 10 years? Okay, so then one of the recurrent topics during the summit was SMEs and what are the challenges that SMEs have. I will not go into the detail of each of the talks as such. I took a ton of videos, so hopefully I can post one video a week and edit it such that it makes sense to us, just as a very small snippet. But when it comes to SMEs, that it's a very fundamental part of the economy in every market, actually. So one of the challenges that they have is to hire talent and basically to build that knowledge to educate, you know, the SMEs across all the different areas so that then they can be successful businesses, not just on the financial services side. But more importantly, one of the key things that keeps coming back and back is, how are we going to build trust? If we think about it, for example, in SMEs, you open an account and the first thing that you need to do is you need to share your bank statements, your passport copies, all the documents from the company as such. And then how do we show that I'm worthy of trust? So it depends. It depends if you are at the beginning of your fintech journey or if you are a more established company. If you are a more established company, what you can do is basically showcase other organizations that have worked with you so that they are known organizations, and then basically give social proof. But if you're not, then you need to manage the human interaction such that we show a process map where you show, hey, this is how your information is going to be used, and help customers visualize why you're asking all this info and basically how it affects the process of interacting with your company. So that is a very short, very brief summary of the key takeaways from Dubai, which, like I said, it is not about the what was said on stage that will come in the coming weeks, but it was more about the mindset. And what I loved the most was that many of the panels, they were focused on innovation. It was very practical CEOs and founders saying, hey, this is how we do product. Hey, how do we think about innovation? I loved it. I was sitting in the first row taking tons of videos and notes. So if we step back, I also went to Money 2020 in Bangkok. And this was a total different experience because while in Dubai, I was sitting in the first row listening to people talk. In Money 2020, I was part of three panels and a podcast. So the vibe is totally different. So first, my experience in Money 2020 was absolutely fab. Why? Because you have the mix of speaking, meeting new people, listening to talks, and of course, the socials. They have like really good parties. That's the right word. But I'll start by giving a brief reflection on speaking. I think speaking is a great opportunity for growth. As much as I love being on stage, every time I'm on stage, I get nervous. And then basically, the key theme here is you need to put yourself out there. You need to advocate for yourself and do a submission. And basically, you don't need to be on stage on your own. You can do a collab. That's how I ended up on stage as well in one of the panels. You do a collab, you submit together. And as you prep for your topic, you will notice the growth. You're like, oh my God, I'm going to be on stage talking in front of the experts about this topic. I might as well not sound silly. So you need to be very well prepared. Think about your audience. What would be relevant to them? What insights do you want to take them home? And how can you do both, educate and entertain? And unless you're a super experienced speaker, there is an element of nervousness and excitement before you go on stage. But it is feeling that real, that looking back, you're like, oh my God, yes, I did it. So I could encourage you to submit your application and just give it a try to speak, whether it's Money 2020, Dubai FinTech Summit, or any of the amazing conferences that we have coming soon. So I was in three panels. The first one was in Rise Up. That is the leadership program for women in fintech. And we talked about learning to love risk. Yes, we talked about risk-taking in our careers, risk-taking in our lives, and how different ethnicities, cultures look at risk and how we have to challenge the preconceptions as such. I also moderated a panel on cross-border open banking, enhancing integration across Asia. This was a really good session. So basically, if you follow the Asian market, you know that we have come very far when it comes to QR payments, even QR cross-border payments. However, in my opinion, we are a little bit behind when it comes to open banking. So basically, the panel was all about exploring what do we need to do to get ahead of the curve, given that they're a little bit behind. The three key points that we discussed was industry collaboration around open API data formats and consent models are key to accelerate adoption. So it's all about the standardization so that then we can make it feasible for everyone to do it well, to do it right, to do it fast. So second point, cross-border data portability is super important so that we can reduce cost and complexity, specifically in international trade, so that then we can boost economy. And number three, the legal frameworks are challenging without shared legal structures like in Europe. So basically, we need to start with technical and operationalization harmonization first. This is a very deep topic, but then these were the key points. I went on stage with Nassim from JP Morgan and we talked about the creator economy. So we talked about how creators, content platforms, and financial institutions are changing the rules of the game. This was a session powered by JP Morgan. And basically here, the key points were, we need to understand the complexity of the ecosystem when it comes to the creator economy. We have the creators, the platforms that they use, the audience, the payment providers, and we need to recognize the financial hurdles faced by creators because these are going to be vital for empowering them to be financially strong and to foster their growth. Therefore, we then deep dived into different monetization avenues for creators, exploring different channels, alternative strategies, and how they can use these and how the payment experience is so important in a creator's journey. And number three, we are thinking about the future. When we talk about the trends of creator economy, there's two things that come to mind. The first one was B2B collaborations, like we're going to see more and more B2B creators. And number two is as Web3 becomes more available for all of us and easier to use, we'll start seeing changes in what content looks like. I don't know if in 1 year, but at least I'm sure in 2 years we all. There are six topics that I want to briefly touch on. That these were the talks that I attended and there was just one key takeaway from them. So the first one was on the Thailand government. I don't remember exactly who it was, so you'll have to forgive me. But basically, the key message was inclusion should not be a privilege for the few. Oh, which is so important. It should be part of our strategic direction. And to have that inclusivity, we need open infra, open data, and open competition. There's three layers to this, is data, payments, and identity. So for example, when it comes to identity, in Thailand, they already have NDID, which is the national digital platform. And when it comes to businesses, they have TrustBix Connect. That basically, it allows a completely paperless eKYC and e-signature experience. So that's about inclusivity for everyone. Number two. I attended the Trust Summit with Shield, and I loved. Basically, it's AI versus humans. They did a demo where they showed a video of a fraudster, and basically, a fraudster was simulating the step that you do when you're going through the video eKYC in any of the fintech apps. And then basically what he did, he went online, he took a picture of a stranger, and then he animated that same video with a picture of the stranger, and voila! Then you can pass, it's insane. Then you are able to pass eKYC videos with this, basically, impersonation, which was absolutely horrible / eye-opening. So the key message here is we need to be on top of trends on how to manage and fight fraud better, because with the rise of AI, this This is very important. One of my favorite talks was the one with MicroConnect. So it's all about how we can make smaller business investable. And they bring a term that it's the daily revenue contract. So basically the whole argument, usually you have like big capital money that goes to big institutions, but then it's like, hey, how do we put big capital money into smaller businesses? So they are creating an instrument, which is basically a daily revenue contract, where from a daily perspective, as it says, basically it allows businesses to be investable because then on a daily manner, they are paying back this investment. I'm not sure if that makes sense, but hopefully we'll have them in the post. So topic number four, of course, we had embedded finance. This time I had the pleasure to watch the talk from the CEO and founder of Brandcast. And what I love about this talk was all the practical examples. Basically, he described really well, for example, how an e-fishery, right? Like a fishery, they now have an app and basically now they can offer financial services within the app. However, they don't do all the heavy lifting. All the heavy lifting is being done by a partner. And this has been changing how financial services are distributed as such and the monetization models. So one of the examples that we have is in the Philippines. So in the Philippines, we have GCash, that it's one of the digital wallets, one of the largest ones, and they have very high penetration in the market. So what they can do now within GCash is you can open a CIMB. CIMB is one of the banks here. You can open a CIMB account within 30 seconds. And guess what? By now, CIMBs, according to the talk or according to my notes, 80% of the new retail accounts are being originated via GCash. That's insane. And within GCash, you can open a bank account for four apps, for four banks. So I love that cross collaboration between fintechs and banks. Then one of my other favorite talks was one about Gen AI. And here we had an expert from Google. And the key points were leadership is super important when it comes to AI. So we need AI sponsorship and leadership. And we need to bring employees in the journey with us. We need to show them what transformation looks like. And at the same time, we need to be aware of our AI direction and take a risk-based approach. We need to be able to mitigate biases. Therefore, also data governance is so important. We need to ensure that we think about the data that is going into these models, because one of the other things is Gen AI is not the answer to everything. Gen AI is not the answer to everything, but AI needs to be a top-down strategy where the leadership shows where the biggest impact will be, and we need to get educated. So topic number six, and one of my favorites, was the metaverse. How the metaverse and payments are going to change. Here, one of I love this talk. One of the key takeaways was about digital identities. The game is going to change again, not in 1 year, but maybe in 3 to 5 years. And we talk about the idea of how everyone will have a bot. So when we are in the metaverse, it's not even that I will have to make decisions. So I'll go to the metaverse to speak with a dentist. And then I need to ask, hey, are you a dentist? And then basically it's not me that's asking. It's going to be my bot that's asking. And then the bot will know in a very easy to use user experience whether, yep, this is a dentist or not. But anyways, the future is very exciting. There's a ton of work to be done. And that's why, one of the reasons why we have purpose-driven fintech, because as exciting as it is, we have a ton of technology out there. Everything is changing very fast. As you saw, there was no coherent storyline in my podcast this time. It was just like, boom, 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 all these ideas. But the magic is we need to be able to connect the dots. We need to be able to take all this complexity, absorb it, put it in our brains. And when we're doing our jobs, ensure that those data points are there such that we take them into account such that we help customers have better lives with money. That's it for today, everyone. And see you next week with Aldi. And see you next week. Ciao, ciao. Thanks so much for listening. Your time and energy means a lot. If you want to support the show, remember to give it a follow and DM me to get in touch. I promise I do respond.